Let me ask you a question. If someone told you, I'm going to give you $5 million, we're going to put you in a resort, we want you to stay there for 6 months. Your family can't come with you. You're going to have everything that you, think Disney World, how about that? You're going to have everything you need. All your food is going to be given to you. You're not going to have to worry about it. It's going to be the finest food. We're not talking hamburgers and hot dogs. We're talking about whatever you want. Think about the greatest meal ticket at Disney World you've ever had. It's going to be amped up. You get, I mean, there's pools. There's all the video games you want to play. There, anything you want to do, you've got the ability. And we're gonna make sure that you're all right. Anybody in, and your family can't come. It's just going to be you. There may be some other people, but you're, I mean, anybody in on that? Yeah, I am. I'm in on that. Sounds a lot like the NBA bubble, though, doesn't it? And have you seen what has happened with the NBA bubble? I mean, there are people who are actually, like, popping the bubble. I mean, somebody this week I saw, they snuck somebody in with them and, like, got caught. And now they have been kicked out of the bubble. They're no longer going to be able to play play in the finals. I read where earlier somebody got an excused absence to leave the bubble for a funeral and got caught on Instagram in places they were not supposed to be. Listen, it is. I'll speak for me. It's very easy for me to kind of like want to take some stones and throw at those folks. But you know what? The allure of the world and the cravings of the world, our desires are very, very strong. And you know what? We oftentimes find ourselves in the exact same boat. We can create all kinds of bubbles to put ourselves in. But listen, if we're not careful, those cravings, those desires, those they come at us. And the question today for us as we continue on in our series called Verified, are we verified believers? Is what do we do when those times happen to us? So if you've got your Bible, I want us to begin to look. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're only going to read three verses. We're going to read verses 15, 16, and 17. Now, typically when we give a bottom line, you know, the bottom line is normally what we try to give you. We want you to walk away with. We typically try to point you in a direction to say, hey, do this. Today, we're coming at it from a negative angle. Because I want you to begin to catch this really quick, that if you're not careful, when you feed your flesh, when you feed those cravings, when you feed those desires, when you feed your flesh, you know what ends up happening? You end up starving your soul. When you feed the flesh, you starve the soul. And so I want you to begin to catch that as we read. So with that, let's open up and we're going to begin reading. Hopefully you've got your Bible, a pen, a piece of paper, taking some notes as we begin to read. Let's start reading in verse 15. John, the apostle that Jesus loved, who loved Jesus, he wrote this. Do not love the world. Circle that. Wherever you see the word world, circle it in this, all right? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, it's repeating a lot. You catch that? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Listen, this passage has been used a lot of times to begin to make a tick list, you know, like a little checklist of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And this passage is not necessarily designed to do that. What it's doing right here is it's helping us to understand where this, how this sin comes at us. And it comes in categories. A lot of times what ends up happening is when we make those tick lists, those little checklists of don't do this, don't do this, we're making a checklist of things that we struggle with, right? Whether it's dancing or drinking, whether it's movies, playing cards, don't listen to this music, don't listen to this movie, don't go to this movie. Listen, I don't want us to get into a lot of denouncing today. You know what I want? I want us to get into some understanding. And I want the Holy Spirit to be the one who begins to speak to us today. My prayer as I've drove here this morning was, Lord, would you be the one that speaks? Would you, Holy Spirit, would you do the teaching and the guiding? I asked you a minute ago, circle, do something, underline the word world. You've heard me say this before. Whenever there is a word that's repeated often, it's important. Here we are in three verses, and the word world is repeated six different times. So obviously, he's wanting us to catch on something. Many times in the scripture, whenever the word world is used, it's used to represent creation. Sunrise, sunset, oceans and rivers and streams and mountains and valleys. And listen, I love nature. I don't love it quite as much as my wife does, but I love nature. I love seeing a beautiful sunrise. This morning as I'm coming down the interstate, right here at Old Salem, over Jameson Steel, you see the sun coming up. It was beautiful. Beautiful. As you, at night, when I sit on my back deck and I see the sun going down and the beautiful colors that we've been able to see. I've had the opportunity to hike in the Grand Canyon and stand at the rim and just look at it and go, I mean, what do you say? Those of you who have been there, you know. Flying into Seattle, I've only been to Seattle twice. One of the times that I went, as we were flying in, there were clouds everywhere, and the pilot comes over the intercom and he says, if you'll look out the left hand, out the left side window, you'll be able to see a beautiful sight. And you look out and all you see are clouds everywhere, except off in the distance, you see the peak of Mount Rainier. Listen, God's world is beautiful and we should steward it. We should care for it. We should worship when we see it. So I don't think what he's saying here is that we should reject that, reject creation. Well, a lot of times when they're using the word world in scripture, he's talking about people, ethnicity. So, I mean, the guy who wrote this, the Apostle John, wrote the most famous verse, arguably, I don't argue about it, maybe you will, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He's talking about people. God loved people. So we should love Africans. We should love Egyptians. We should love Thai, Chinese, Mexican, Venezuelan. We should love jocks and nerds, skinny jeans and camo, smart people, not so smart people. Listen, we love what God loves, we hate what God hates, and God loves people. So I don't think he's denouncing or saying, listen, get rid of the earth, get rid of creation, get rid of people. Know what he's saying here in verse 15 when he says, do not love the world. He's talking about a system. He's talking about a system of thought. He's talking about things in the world, the system of thought in our world that is against Christ, that is anti-Christ, things that don't line up with Christ, things that don't line up with his word that seek to draw you away. He's talking about in here also a triple threat, okay? If you've got your Bibles, I want you to underline these three things. They're in verse 16, and we're going to begin to digest them. Verse 16, he names a triple threat of things that come after us to steal our vitality and to steal life from us. One is the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh, the desire of our eyes, and the pride of life. Now, again, like I said a minute ago, these are more categories for us to begin to think and to examine what it is that God is saying to us today in his word. And I'm going to ask that he begin to speak to you as we talk. So the very first thing, let's start talking about the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. Now, when we're talking about desires of the flesh, he's talking about desires for pleasure, things that pleasure me. I think a word, some of you have translations in here. We use the ESV. Some of you may have a translation that uses the word instead of desire, the lust of the flesh. Another word that is really good is cravings. And that type of craving, that type of desire, that type of lust is one that is never satisfied. It calls you to continue on and on and on. And it doesn't always mean sexual sin. Many people take this and they categorize it as just sexual sin. What he's talking about here is that any desire and craving that grabs a hold of us and it begins to control us, it begins to call us to itself so that all that it does is it begins to bring pleasure and that pleasure begins to terminate on me. You see, the world that we talked about a minute ago, the world is the external influences that come at us. These cravings and desires are the internal forces that come after us also. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The Apostle Paul, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I desire to do, I don't do those either. He says, listen, he's having struggles here. all of us would find ourselves in this exact same thing. And we can create all kinds of boundaries. We can create all kinds of checklists. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You could be like the Amish and cloister yourself where the outside world doesn't come. Have any of you seen the reruns of the show Breaking Amish? Some of you have, I see that. Where the whole idea of it is these 18-year-olds, Amish people, at the age of 18, they get to literally break away for 1 year and follow their cravings and their desires to see, do I really want to stay in this place? Listen, you can do whatever you desire to create the perfect Christian community and sequester yourself, but I want you to hear this. These desires, these cravings, these lusts, they begin to well up in you. And the question is what do you do with them? Because you see, desire is not all bad. I have a desire to be a good husband. I have a desire to be a good dad. I have a desire to be a good father. I have a desire to be a good pastor for you. The question is where do you place your desire and what do you begin to do with it? How does that work? Listen, think about food for a moment. Think about food. I'm sorry if you have not had breakfast yet. I see some folks. Think about food for a moment. We have desires for food, don't we? I mean, they're God-given desires for food. It's called an appetite. Here in about 30 minutes, if I don't get something, I'm going to get hangry, all right? Listen, God gives us those. But what happens when all that we do is we have a physical, we desire and crave more and more and more, and it's never satiated? We're never satisfied. It begins to be called what the scripture calls is gluttony. You see, you're feeding your flesh. You're trying to take in and in and in for pleasure of me. God gave us food to satisfy our bodies so that we can then work for him and listen and proclaim worship. Listen, when you eat a nice steak, when you have an incredible piece of salmon, it should make you, or it does me, thank you, God. Literally, thank you, God, this is awesome. But when it's just more and more and more, and you're feeding your flesh, you know what ends up happening? You're starving your soul. Think about sex for just a few moments. Sex is a gift from God. He has given it to us. Listen, I'm thankful for it because all of you are in here right now and you're a byproduct of sex. Okay? This is called procreation. I'm thankful that you're in here. I'm also thankful that he's given it to us for recreation, for pleasure. He's given sex to be utilized between a husband and a wife in the confines of covenant marriage so that we can experience pleasure with each other. So that we can worship and say, God, thank you for what you have done. Now, I want to be really clear here. I'm going to pull off here just a moment. I want to be really, really clear. Marriage is specifically designed by God in a covenant relationship with one man and one woman, not one man, not one man and one man, not one woman and one woman, not one transgender this with another transgender this. It is between a man and a woman, and God has made sex beautiful for that specific purpose. But listen, when we begin to take the good gift of God so that the pleasure begins to terminate on me and we begin to feed the flesh so that it satisfies only me, is it any wonder that the porn industry today makes more money than the U.S. State Department and the Treasury Department can print? It's not just an American issue. This is an issue all across the world. You see, God has designed our appetites. He's designed our desires, but he's designed them within a specific boundary and context so that we worship him with them, not we worship ourselves with them. Quickly, go to the next one, the desires of the flesh, and he also begins to talk about the desires of our eyes. The desire of our eyes is all about what we see and our desire to have more and more stuff. You know, we live in the age of stuff and Stuff Mart and getting more stuff, and I need this stuff, and I need that stuff. I want more and more and more. And the world system bombards us, doesn't it? There's always something more that we could have. In the age of smartphones, in the age of smartphones, we see things nonstop. I mean, it is boom, 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 boom. It used to be on television, but now it's on your phone. Notification, 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 notification. The porn industry is 24/7 on our phones. It's on our phones 24/7. Well, how about this? How about the new thing that's coming out? It doesn't matter that I have like last year's new thing, but they're updating the new thing. So I've got to get that new thing. My TV is already an 80-inch. You mean there's like an 85-inch? Wait a minute. You didn't even realize you needed a new vehicle until your friend, ooh, a heated steering wheel. I don't have that on my truck. You see, God has designed our eyes so that as we take in the beauty of nature, as we take in his world, as we take in what it is that he's given us, is to draw us back to him, not to draw us away from him into needing more and more stuff, because it is a ploy of the enemy. It becomes a ploy of the enemy. Listen, that's why our eyes that take in so many things. That's why Hardee's uses Victoria's Secret models to sell hamburgers, as if that's going to make them taste better. They think if they can get your cravings, your desires, literally your lust for a superstar model, it's going to cause you to want to have a superstar with cheese. Listen, we have to be smart, because what ends up happening here is that as we feed our flesh, we're feeding our flesh. We're feeding those cravings of our eyes. You know what ends up happening? We're starving our soul as followers of Christ. When you feed the flesh, you just need to know, you're starving the soul. But it's not just with sex. It's not just with food. It's with all kinds of things. Maybe in your profession. I don't know if you're a lawyer, a salesman. I don't know if you're a teacher. But do you ever find yourself looking around at other people and going, why are they getting what they're getting and I'm not? I'm working really, really hard. And they're getting, but I'm not. And what you see with your eyes begins to create despair and bitterness. It begins to, God, why? And you see, what ends up happening as a ploy of the enemy is that we take our eyes off of what God has given us to steward and the place that he's called us, and we begin to look over here and go, I want that. I want that. You see, we're allowing our eyes to feed the flesh, and as a result, there becomes a discontentment and a starving of our soul, because we're not caring for what it is that God's given us. What it is that he's entrusted to us. And I want you to hear me. Pastors deal with this. Pastors deal with it. We deal with the exact same things that you deal with. All right? We deal with the desires of the flesh. We deal with the desire of our eyes when we look at other people and go, why is their church growing? And why? Now, listen, our church is growing. Thank the Lord. I am so very thankful. But it's easy to start looking at what someone else is doing and what someone else is doing and how's this happening? And you go, and then the Lord just convicts you and says, listen, you've got a field. You know what? You have a field in the business that he's put you in the school that you're teaching in the law firm that you're dealing in whatever vocation he has called you, and he is saying to you, mind what I've given you. Because when you don't, you're feeding the flesh. And when you feed the flesh, you're starving your soul. You're starving your soul. Look with me at the third thing quickly. The third thing is this, is that not only is there the desires of our flesh and the desires of our eyes, but the scripture talks about the pride of life. And the pride of life is all about glorifying you. The desires of the flesh and the desires of our eyes are all about looking out here, looking externally at what everyone else is doing. You know what the pride of life is all about? And I think it's the most dangerous. It's about, hey, everyone look at me and what I'm doing. It's about raising up my glory and robbing the glory of God. Do you know that the number one photo today, the number one photo taken is a selfie? Did you know that? It used to be that we took photos and pictures of the people that we love the most. Well, now we've just confirmed that we're really taking photos of the people that we love the most, us. You see, we were lying to ourselves, thinking, oh, my kid. Now it involves us. And you realize that social media is a major driver of that, don't you? You understand that, don't you? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Now, it may be easy for us to go, wait a minute, that's not really me. I don't do that. I don't want to put myself in the place of God. But when we begin to take photos of everything that we do, when we begin, and I'm hammering in on this, all right? You've heard this now for how many weeks? Talking about these things, because this is a major place that we as followers of Christ live. You know what we end up doing? How can we go back and look over and over again at how many people have liked our photos? Who's liked? Who's looked at our video? Listen, hey, confession. This week, we as a church put out a video of me about this whole thing. Probably 50 of those views are me. Folks, we all deal with this, don't we? We all deal with it. And the question is today is, are you going to be truthful with the Lord about it? You see, we all deal with the cravings of our flesh. We all deal with the lust and the cravings of our eyes that lead us in a different direction. We all deal with self-glorification because we want people to see what we're doing. We compare ourselves with someone else. Oh, I'm not like them. I'm not as bad as they are. I'm all right. You know, I want you to hear, every time we do that, we are feeding the flesh and we're starving our soul. We're robbing God of the glory that is due only Him and saying, hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. When... We don't do it as often as much as a staff. You know, as a staff, Rodney will attest to this. You know, we act stupid sometimes, silly. There were days when we'll go out to eat lunch back when, and we're all walking into a place, and all of a sudden someone will go, as we're walking in, whoever is behind will hold everybody back so that when that person opens the door and they walk into the door, someone yells, hey, look at me! And everyone kind of looks, and that person's like, oh, gosh. Don't try that later, all right? That does not work with your spouse very well, believe me. Folks, when you're feeding your flesh, you're starving your soul. And I want you to hear this. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve, Jesus is speaking, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. At the beginning of verse 15, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he tells us that we shouldn't love the world. Why? Why should we not? Look what it says. It says, because the love of the world is incompatible with the love of God. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, he said. It's not in him. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. He didn't say it was a moral issue, like you shouldn't do that. He said, you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. You're either serving me, or you're serving the world, you're serving money. And I have to say this, okay? I am from Texas, so this gives me a little bit of a room here. There is a bright, smiling, energetic, multi-million-dollar pastor in Texas who says you can't have your best life now, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. You cannot have your best life now and have your best heavenly life later. You can't do it. That's not my words. Don't throw a stone at the messenger. I'm repeating what Matthew says. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. It's impossible. It is impossible. There are two things in this life that are vying for your happiness that are saying to you, you can be happy and wealthy. God and money. The question is you can't have both of them. You have to choose. Which one are you choosing? That what we just saw with Benny just a minute ago, this Pastor Benny talking about the pastors in India on $414 a month. Listen, that is eternal treasure. That's eternal treasure. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all, but the things I've placed in God's hand, I still possess. I had the opportunity to travel to Egypt. Peyton Bullen and I, our missions pastor, as we were going to look at a partnership in Egypt. When in Egypt, there are pyramids. And you remember, they're right there in Cairo. So you remember what the pyramids are about, don't you? They're tombs where the pharaohs would be buried and they would put all of this wealth. You've seen King Tut, things on the, I mean, great treasures, great, great treasures. Do you realize that those tombs are empty today? And it's not because Tut took them with him. It's because grave robbers came in and stole them. You can go visit those pyramids. You can go down in them. I said, nope, I'm not. Peyton, you go check and see if there's anything down there. They're empty. If you're a young adult in here and you're about to have kids or you've got small kids, take it from an older adult. Your kids are going to be lining up. And they're already choosing the things they want from you when you're gone. In fact, there's probably a piece of tape that someone in here has already got stuck on the back of a something saying it's mine. Folks, we're cramming all kinds of things so that it glorifies us. I've got more, I've got more, I've got more, I've got more. I'm this person. I need a bigger house. Listen, the pride of life, look at me. The desires of my flesh, the desires of my eyes. When we're feeding our flesh, we are starving our soul. And many of you today are in that very spot and you're going, I feel like I'm withering up. I want you to hear this. There is hope. There is grace. There is a Savior. Quickly turn over to Luke chapter 4. It's not going to be on the screen. Luke chapter 4. I just want to point out a couple of things. Jesus has already defeated this. When Jesus had been baptized, the scripture says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted, and he was tempted by Satan. He had fasted for 40 days, and Satan came to him when he was at his weakest. In fact, the scripture tells us that he was hungry, and Satan said to him, "Hey, here are some stones. Why don't you call these stones to become bread to satisfy your flesh?" And Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The scripture tells us on down in verse 5 of chapter 4, it says, "And the devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms in a moment." And he said, "All of this can be yours. Look at it. Look at it. All of this can be yours. The lust of the eyes." And Jesus said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve." The scripture says that immediately he took him to the temple and put him at the highest point of the temple. And he says, "Hey, listen, this is your opportunity. Go ahead and show who you are right now. Cast yourself off from here. And you know the angels. They'll come and they'll swoop in." Trying to get Jesus to show his glory, to glorify himself then. And Jesus said this. He says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." I want you to hear this today. Hear this today. Jesus has conquered. Jesus has conquered what it is that you're facing. You may feel like you are withering away. I can't beat what's happening in my flesh. I can't get over it. My eyes, listen, and these two may be connected. What I'm seeing with my eyes is it's terminating in my flesh and it's killing me. Some of you may be going, you know what? They're getting ahead of me and I'm not going to let it happen. That may mean a car, a job, a house. I've got to get more money. My bank account's got to get bigger. I want you to hear me. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are starving your soul because you are feeding your flesh. And we were not designed to worship that. Some of you in here today, the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you today. And you're going, I don't know that Jesus. I've heard about him, but I don't know him like you're talking about him. I want you to hear me. Both groups of people, Jesus is the only answer to what we face today. He is it. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're struggling with feeding the flesh, I want you to know that he will cause your soul to come alive. In fact, here's what I want to end with. I want you to hear this. When you feed your soul, do you know what you're doing? You're starving your flesh. So how do I feed my soul? Well, what did Jesus do? Number one, listen, he knew the word. He read the word. He knew the word. He meditated on the word so that he could call the word back out. Listen, today, you're in this room today. You are feeding your soul by worshiping together. Many of you are in a small group. That's feeding your soul. We have brothers and sisters who come alongside each other and help us. Help us walk in this. You're giving. You know, the only way to break greed is to give. It's the only way to break greed. You're held by greed. It's to give. In our world today, let's talk about countercultural. Today, it's all about serve me, look at me. Listen, you know how to break that? You begin to make your life where you serve. You begin to serve. Listen, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. And today, if you don't know him, he gave his life for you. Jesus, we honor you. We magnify you. I thank you so much that we have the opportunity today to worship you. And I ask that you would awaken dead hearts today. I ask the Holy Spirit would draw men and women and boys and girls to you. Father, I'm so thankful for Zara and for Brandon and them walking through the baptisms. I pray that today, Father, there would be others who recognize and see because of their testimony, their need of you as Savior and to be baptized. Lord Jesus, we magnify you. We honor you. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. I'm going to ask you to stand. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Today, we're going to respond by worshiping and singing back. We're going to worship by giving your tithes and offerings as you leave. I do not want you to leave here if you do not know Jesus. Come and see me. Talk to me. Text in the word Jesus to the number that's been on the screen. Come back by and see me. I want to help you walk through that. We love you and thank you.